Welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday, your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Jason has handpicked to help you today in the present and propel you into the future. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds on the Holistic Survival Show. And by the way, be sure to visit our website at holisticsurvival.com. You can subscribe to our blog, which is totally free, has loads of great information, and there's just a lot of good content for you on the site. So make sure you take advantage of that at holisticsurvival.com. We'll be right back.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn about investing in and managing income properties for college students, there's a show for that. If you want to learn how to get noticed online and in social media, there's a show for that. If you want to know how to save on life's largest expense, there's a show for that. And if you'd like to know about America's crime of the century, there's even a show for that. Yep. There's a show for just about anything, only from jasonhartman.com, or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
It's my pleasure to welcome Dan McCall to the show. Dan is founder of Liberty Maniacs, a company that extols the virtues of individual liberty and limited government with their t-shirts, bumper stickers, and home and office accessories, greeting cards, and other products. He's got some great parody logos and t-shirts that mock the NSA, and he was recently involved in litigation with the NSA, and we're going to hear all about that. And I'm not a big fan of this guy, but I do like this line. As Sean Hannity says, you are a great American. I'm stealing a line from, I mean, I like some of Sean's stuff, but not all of it, certainly. So I thought that was applicable for you in particular. So dive in and tell us, last week was some big and really good news for you, right?
It was. And thanks, Jason, for having me on the show and talking with your listeners. Last week it was sort of the conclusion to what had been, the better part of last year and so far this year in dealing with the NSA. Last year, about June, I think it was June 6th, actually, days after the Snowden revelations had come out, I decided to kind of do what I do and kind of take a stab at the issue in the way I do, which is through art and through putting it on products like shirts and mugs like that.
I don't know if people heard what you just said. You were saying days after the Snowden revelation.
Yeah.
You're talking about Edward Snowden. When those came out, Edward Snowden, you know, I think should rightfully be called a bit of a hero as a whistleblower. The government likes whistleblowers when they're you know, in their favor. But when you're whistleblowing on the government, you get sent to prison. Just right. Ask Bradley Manning.
Right.
And Edward Snowden trying to evade that. Anyway, so you started doing what? You printed t-shirts and bumper stickers and different paraphernalia? And what did they say?
Yeah. And the shirt, I kind of went to the drawing board and what I came up with was basically kind of doing something that I've done for a long time is doing kind of a classic parody and involving the actual logo of the agency. And so I changed the logo up a little bit. Instead of the United States of America, I put the NSA. Peeping While You're Sleeping, which is sort of an homage to Snoop Doggy Dog, which I thought was funny with the whole Snoop part. And then on the bottom, it just said, the NSA, the only part of government that actually listens. And so
awesome.
Put it up. And got a giggle a little bit while I was doing it. I said, you know, I'm going to put this up. I think this will make a good shirt. hours later, I was contacted by my manufacturer, and they told me that, indeed, they had been contacted by the NSA to take the shirt down. It had been an infringement of their intellectual property rights.
Unbelievable. So here's the funny thing about IP. You know, with most IP, when it comes from, I think it's called just the government printing office, where they create all sorts of pamphlets and brochures, and, you know, the IRS has all sorts of reports on their website. And as far as I know, and I'm not an attorney, I always like to make that disclaimer, but as far as I know, all these things are in the public domain. And therefore, American taxpayers to use any way they wish. But it's funny how they were wanting to protect the NSA's intellectual property, their logo, in this case, right?
Right, exactly. A very curious thing. When I got that report from them, back from the manufacturer, it was a very curious thing, because anyone that's gone to, you know, goes to Washington, D.C., or any, you know, on the mall, you can see vendors everywhere, and they're selling things that, you know, FBI shirts, NSA shirts, all sorts of memorabilia like that.
Right, right. And, you know, it's making me think, Dan, that soon they'll say that the American flag is their intellectual property,
right,
and their trademark,
right,
and we don't get to use that one either, right?
Right. You know, at what point do we actually have to get permission to use commercially the ideas? Is it going to be that the First Amendment is going to be copyrighted at some point? It's a bizarre thing that we ran up against. And essentially what they were using was a authority from a law that was, it looked like about 1958, I believe, a small little subsection. Basically, the law that they were using basically said that you needed to have the permission from the director of the NSA to use the word NSA, National Security Agency, or any image that would represent the logo.
Well, then certainly this is a case of selective enforcement, because I really doubt that every movie, documentary, and film producer, TV show that uses CIA and NSA logos and talks about the NSA in numerous movies, I really doubt they've received their permission to do that.
Right. It was such an odd thing, and the interesting thing when we started to find out what was going on was, well, partly how difficult it was to find out. The manufacturer in this case was literally so afraid that their legal department would not even give us the documents, the original cease and desist. We had to go through a discovery phase, and actually they dictated the cease and desist letters over the phone. And in the process, we found out that wasn't actually the only cease and desist. We had gotten one also from the Department of Homeland Security, and their authority that they were claiming to have was there was a law in the books that stated that we couldn't deface their logo. And so I had made a shirt, which was basically just a silly shirt that said the Department of Homeland Stupidity, sort of replicating their logo and putting a dunce cap on there and so on and so forth. And so they had issued one as well. The funny thing is, the manufacturer had not even told me that they had gotten this stuff. So it took a long kind of discovery phase before we even found out sort of the depth that this thing had gone.
Okay, so let me ask a question. So first of all, Dan, how do you think they found out you were making these T-shirts and bumper stickers? Did you produce any of them before they tried to stop you, or did they just are they just listening to all your conversations and reading all your emails with your manufacturer?
I think what in this case is that they went, and the manufacturer that I was using is a third party sort of manufacturer that you know, literally hundreds of different brands, and from Disney to everyone else uses, and they have a marketplace themselves. So I think that's just what they did. They selectively, in whatever way that they found it, they found this merchandise on this manufacturer's marketplace, just like they might have found it on Amazon.com or something like that. Basically, Google searching it.
They're not Google searching it, probably.
No, they're
and
not.
That's what concerns me. They're basically looking at every time their name is used on the internet. And so when they saw, when there were their massive computers that are eavesdropping on literally everything we all do all the time in every country on the planet, the NSA has bugged the whole human race, not just the United States. So something came up, And, you know, it went up the chain and probably went through a few chains of computer data banks analyzing it. And then it went to a human, and then it went to another human, and then it went to the legal department. They said, hey, let's sue this guy. I mean, is that pretty much how it all worked, probably?
That's the way it sounds. That's the way it sounds like. At first, when looking at it, I figured it would, you know, basically go up that electronic chain that you were talking about. And then maybe some analyst or some bean counter had looked at it and said, well, that technically falls within, okay, let's just send a cease and desist, but which is outrageous in and of itself. But as this story had come out by the end of last year, I mean, it hit international press. It had been on the Wall Street Journal. It had been all over. And over, the same public response from the NSA is that, well, we believe that we have the authority to basically to flex our muscles and take anything down that misrepresents the NSA and so on and so forth. So,
but here's the interesting thing. It doesn't misrepresent the NSA.
I mean, no, it doesn't.
I mean, it represents exactly what the NSA is doing, which is spying on us.
Right. I mean, and that's the portion of it. It wouldn't have been funny otherwise, right? It wouldn't have been funny in a time when I think people have become so cynical, if for good reason, of their government's response to anything that they want right now. And then we find out that literally, like you've said before, about every electronic transaction or anything that we do can be scanned with metadata and tracked and branded and brought, you know, and basically listened to. So we're finding out just now that it looks like the NSA has had access to Yahoo users' video for years now. And I think the story is finally come out this week, but people have been talking about this for years. It's an incredible sort of situation. Some of us have kind of may have thought that this was possible before, but I don't think the joke would have been funny if it wasn't true. They seem to be the only part of government that's actually really listening. So
that's not fun. Unbelievable. So tell us about this litigation. So they didn't send you a cease and desist letter, or they did? They would only call you because they wouldn't want you to have this letter that you could scan and post all over the internet.
Exactly.
Right.
It wasn't until actually Tuesday of this week that I'm going to frame this bad boy. I finally got as part of the settlement that happened, I get the actual cease and desist letter. So they sent that to me, and they actually rescinded the original cease and desist letters and sent those letters off to the manufacturer. So yeah, the way it happened was that they did send it. They sent it to this third party, and I had no knowledge of it whatsoever. And so, they sort of talk about the hushing effect or the chilling effect that these agencies, specifically the NSA, have had when they issue these things, whether it be a takedown notice or a formal cease and desist. People seem to comply, or a lot of people comply. And a lot of people don't want to deal with it. I mean, it seemed to me that the legal staff of the manufacturer was very reticent to speak about anything, because they really did not speak of it. A wall came down, you know, and these were people that I had worked with for 7-8 years very closely, and they were not saying anything. So that was one reason that I thought it was a very important case to sort of move forward with, is because the effect that it has on the internet, on not only commerce and the First Amendment, but just in terms of communication, were very important, I thought.
It's chilling, obviously. So yeah. They really did sue you. They served you with a formal lawsuit. Is that correct?
Well, they threatened legal proceedings if the manufacturer didn't follow their cease and desist on my items. When I found out that a cease and desist had been issued, or two of them had, taking down my items, I ended up suing them. I sued the NSA jointly with the Department of Homeland Security in violation of my First Amendment rights. And so that, when we went back and forth, it became evident by about New Year's of this year that that they were not going to want to go to trial with this. And so they offered a settlement. And so we went back and forth with that. And then we finally kind of gave them our demands, and they ended up agreeing to it. And last week they finally formally signed all the papers and made it formal.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So how much money did you spend suing them?
Luckily, we teamed up with, very early on, the guys over at Public Citizen. And it was a kind of a neat situation, because you know, Public Citizen sort of leans a little leftward, I think, you know, and definitely a lot of the things that they've dealt with in the past aren't something that really have been in my wheelhouse. But I think this issue was one of these things that people from all different perspectives could really agree upon. And so I thought it was neat when the lawyer Paul L. Levy, who is a really good lawyer with them and had dealt with a lot of these issues before in the past, he jumped on and they did a lot of this stuff pro bono. So they really got to the bottom of it, and they were really pit bulls going after this. So in terms of
so Public Citizen acts in some ways then like the ACLU in that they'll litigate cases. They'll actually file lawsuits or defend lawsuits, just like the ACLU does, right?
Indeed, yep, they do, and they in a lot of ways they take on cases similar. You know, I had contact with the ACLU and other groups like them, and it was really Public Citizen that was kind of willing to take this thing on. And you know, I would have probably tried to do it myself as well, but you know, I have no idea how much it would have cost in the end, you know, or how long it was. At the outset, it was one of those things where I don't know how many millions it could have cost if they wanted to sort of push this further and sort of drag their feet. One thing that I did understand really quick, you know, really early, was that it was important to let other people know what was going on. And the response was amazing after that. Like I said, it did hit international press, and just the outpouring of support from people literally all over the world, but mostly in the United States was just great. And it just definitely gave me some confidence to do it.
So how far through the litigation did you go? I mean, did you have depositions of NSA people?
They didn't get that far. No, they actually, once we got through the discovery, they filed in Maryland federal court, and I suppose it was about a month afterwards, they came to us in looking to settle.
So what was the settlement like? Did they give you any money? Did they repay the cost of Public Citizen's lawyers?
No, they didn't. Right. We just looked for, basically, I did ask that they pay for the court filing fees, because of course we had the filing fees for Maryland. So we did that, and to have our, you know, the attorney's costs in terms of their being able to file to be part of the suit in Maryland, in that district. So, you know, just, it was, I think $500 was what we asked for. But then what we wanted to do was basically clarify where we stood in terms of using parity. So we needed them to admit and retract the original cease and desist and write that in this case specifically, and in general, parity is very fine, you know, is a legal and supported First Amendment right we have. So
very interesting, very interesting. So where do you stand now? Have you got all the same shirt? Did you bend at all?
Nope. Actually, throughout the whole process, what I did is I used various manufacturers. So I just decided to keep the shirts available, specifically the ones that were censored by the NSA, and continue to sell them as a sort of, people were looking for a little piece of civil disobedience, and I was certainly willing to keep those up and sort of resist their arm twisting. So we continued to do that. One thing that I'm changing, I think, in the future is I'm just starting to do more manufacturing in-house. So one thing that I learned is I want to keep sort of the supply line safe. I don't want to have one of these situations where my stuff is being messed with legally, and I don't know where and how it's being messed with. And specifically, especially if a cease and desist comes from the government, I want it to come on my doorstep and not anyone else's. So.
Right. Well, that's good. But, you know, maybe you ought to just have your manufacturing done in China, where in many ways they're more free than we are in some ways. I mean, in an ostensibly communist country now.
Right.
Listen, I don't really think that. I am being somewhat sarcastic. I have a friend that lives in China who's very critical of our government, and I think he's out of his mind. I think it's better, still better here. But in some ways, I mean, look at Jim Rogers talking about how, you know, in China you're more free than you are in the States, and it's, in some ways, that is true, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's
unfortunately.
In some ways, right. Yeah.
Well, tell me what else you're working on. I mean, you've got all sorts of, I mean, you're an activist beyond manufacturing these great shirts and bumper stickers and so forth. I mean, you're an activist, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to sort of, you know, use your art for a purpose. And I like to do all sorts of different art. And this sort of stuff is one aspect of what I do. But I'm really interested in using art and using design and things like that to sort of help causes that I feel are very important and need, you know, help in that regard. So, you know, I've worked a little bit with, you know, the Snowden Defense people themselves, trying to you know, help sort of get the whole issue of what not only what freedom is, but in terms of privacy rights and things like that. Worked with them in graphically and stuff like that. I've worked with WikiLeaks and, you know, I've had a long history of working with Dr. Paul and doing some things for his campaigns and stuff like that and promoting those things. Cause I just think it's a powerful thing. Years ago, I guess I started doing all this because I didn't see kind of like a lot of entrepreneurs out there. You kind of want to get shirts, you want to get some stuff like this, but you didn't quite see what you wanted. And you figured, well, hell, maybe I'll start doing some of this stuff myself. And after that, it just became almost intoxicating. It was it was so fun to do. So yeah, trying to sort of build some stuff with other artists around the world right now and do some shows out in Europe and stuff like that, and sort of bring some of these issues that, you know, you just don't see in the mainstream. You don't see them dealt with. And you know, in like you said, like Snowden, I personally think that what he did was heroic. There's a lot of contention from a lot of people, whether that is or not. Mostly in the United States, I think, but so yeah.
I have yet to look at. I am all for. I understand our government needs to keep some secrets, okay, and I don't have a problem with that because at the end of the day, I'm an American and I vote for America. I just believe it should be more along the lines of the original intent of America rather than the bastardized version, which it has unfortunately become. However, I have yet to see some evidence or something substantial in any way that Snowden has actually hurt our national defense opportunities or prospects with his leak. Now, he may well have something on his many hard drives that could be damaging, but I've never read or heard or seen any evidence at all that he's released anything like that.
Right. And
honestly, I know what side you're on, but have you ever seen or heard of anything that he's actually done that has been anything beyond helping U.S. citizens defend themselves against their own government?
Right. Absolutely not. No, it's been one of those things where he's brought to light with these things. And it sounds like they're heavily vetted. It sounds like he has a lot of information, but nothing that he's put out there has done anything to hurt the American citizens. Now, certainly maybe the reputation of the intelligence agencies involved in some of these things, the reputations of maybe our leaders and political leaders that actively allow or ignore these things. But in terms of our security or anything else, I don't think that there's been anything that would justify certainly the label of traitor or some of these other things that they call, which I think are silly. So, you know, when I see something like that and I see, you know, Manning and others that I think are doing important things in putting themselves on the line, I definitely I like to kind of actively support those things and try to help kind of bring awareness to them in my own way as if I can. But so those are the kind of things that I'm going to kind of continue to do as long as I'm not in Guantanamo or something like that.
Yeah, right, right. Well, you know, this could have gone down another way. The NSA could have just had you arrested. They could have tried you in a FISA court that would be behind the Iron Curtain, essentially.
Right.
And you could be imprisoned somewhere without any rights whatsoever, which our government has the right to do.
Right.
Scarily, secret prisons, secret courts. This is unconscionable.
It is. It really is unconscionable. It's a type of thing growing up as a kid, and we'd watch these shows, and we'd learn about the Soviet Union and things like that in our own place.
And here we are.
And here we are, the same kind of things that they'd say. Well, you know, my dad would wave his finger and say, well, in Russia, they can take you off to the gulag for just being, you know, having an unpopular, you know, opinion and this kind of thing. Well, here we are, you know, it's 2014 and we can really actively say in this country that we love, like I still think that there's nowhere better in the world to live. The opportunities here are amazing. Otherwise, I'd live somewhere else. But we can, you know, honestly have a conversation about how this kind of thing is possible, how having an unpopular conversation can bring you to essentially a gulag in America. So it's just an incredible thing.
It's really insane. Well, hey, give out your website, Dan. Tell people where they can buy some of this stuff. Everybody, look, if you support the views that Dan has been talking about here, which are freedom, individual liberty, transparency for the government, I love what Julian Assange said about it. He said, transparency for the organization, privacy for the individual, which the NSA is the complete opposite of that.
Opposite of, correct.
Yeah, you know, it's transparency for the individual and privacy for the organization. You know, that's what they believe in. The complete opposite of any definition of liberty that you could possibly think of. If you believe in that, look at, even if you don't want to wear his t-shirts or anything, just buy some of them to support the cause, okay? You know, and support someone, you know, who's going to be out there putting this message out there, taking our government to task, holding them accountable. And it's not to say everything the government does is bad. I mean, some things the government does is very good, and I support that. But we have to be forever vigilant. That's what our founding fathers wanted us to do. So get some of his t-shirts and his bumper stickers. And I'm not an affiliate. I don't make a penny for that. But no, I'm just saying. Give out your website, Dan.
Well, thanks, Jason. The website's libertymaniacs.com. It's sort of freedom products for liberty lovers, and got thousands of different things. So even if you're not into t-shirts or anything like that, we've just got about everything on there. So really appreciate being on, Jason, and had a ball talking with you.
Yeah. Well, I was having breakfast with one of our clients. I have a real estate investment company. It's another business I own. And one of our clients, I was having breakfast with her, and she was wearing your NSA logo. The sweatshirt. It wasn't a t-shirt. It was a sweatshirt version of it.
Oh, nice.
And then I saw her again at another one of our events, and she's wearing that shirt. And I'm like, thumbs up to that. I think it's awesome. Yeah. So good stuff. So libertymaniacs.com. And Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.